want to spend a little bit of time this morning in Revelation chapter 22. I would encourage you to do one of two things, either follow along in the notes in your app or in your Bible app, because there are going to be a number of places you're going to want to take some notes. And I think may even prompt some questions and challenge some of your current thinking, as we're going to really talk about future present, which isn't an oxymoron. But I do want to start by asking you a question, and the question could be a sermon all in itself. And it's simply this: are you presently living in the present with the future in mind? Are you presently living in the present with the future in mind? Now, there are some people, what you find, the older you get, the more easy it is to look in the rearview mirror of life and live in the past. There are some people that they're just waiting for the next great thing. They're looking for the next great job. They're not looking for the next great promotion. They're looking to get married, or they're looking to have kids, or they're looking to get rid of their kids, or they're looking for grandkids, and they're always living out in the future and missing the present. We're called to live today. Jesus said, when it comes to our tendency to move into false prophecy, he said, don't worry, which is false prophecy, about tomorrow. Today has a sufficient amount of trouble. So there's something about living in the day that we are in. And yet, while we're living in the moment, as we are in this relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to be mindful simultaneously of the future. Because as you are mindful of the future, it changes the way you live in the moment. Let me say that again. When you're mindful of the future, it changes the way you live in the moment. And that really is... How many of that's the first time you've ever said that? How many of you have either said or heard that a million or two so times? Right? Okay. I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, "You must not do that." And one of the things that always boggles my mind about anyone that has an interaction with a supernatural being, you find John, even when he's looking upon Satan, is just in awe. Here he's ready to bow down and worship the angel. This is the end of all the revelations that he's had. And yet, what he's seeing and this being that is talking with him is so profound. It is so magnificent. It's so glorious that he's ready to worship that being. Of course, the being said, "You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal up the word of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon." Say it again. "I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The spirit and bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming soon. Say those words. I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Now you'll notice in that last part of that scripture, Jesus is saying, the angel is saying about Jesus, he who testifies of these things, which is an interesting phrase because now Jesus is testifying about these things because Jesus and unto Jesus, they've already happened. It's already completed. It's already done. We are finite. We are in this scope of time looking out at this moment and in this portion of Scripture toward eternity, toward an existence, a reality, a realm that is outside the confines of day-to-day, the sun rising, then the sun going down, the moon rising, the moon going down, it being winter, being, you know, spring, being summer, and being fall. It's outside of all that. For Jesus, he sees everything in its completed form. You think about God's omnipotence, his ability to know all. God sees all things all the time at one time. God sees all things all the time at one time. Let me say that one more time because I want you to get that. God sees all things all the time at one time. Because that's the God that you and I serve. He's that great. He's that magnificent. He's that powerful. And so Jesus is saying, I testify to the reality that I am speaking to you about. And so in our minds, in my minds, I pray in your hearts and minds, you are looking forward to that this reality, this soon coming reality will take place. And Jesus three times says, it's coming soon. And so there's these present indicators that you are living presently in the present with the future in mind. Okay, there's these indicators. We're going to look at a few of them and really come out of this portion of Scripture. The first one is that you're looking. There's this looking for, this desiring for the return of Jesus Christ. In fact, when each of those three times when it says, I am coming soon, that is a present tense writing. You could say he is presently coming. It's the way it was written in the Greek. And so for us, we are looking. So what are we looking for? What could this mean? Well, first of all, when Jesus says, I'm coming soon, this last week I saw that a friend of mine in Germany, he was over the Assembly of God or over the Pentecostal movement and church health in all of Germany, was riding his bicycle. He was an avid cyclist, got hit by a car and was killed. And he didn't know it, but Jesus was coming sooner for him than he knew. Because each of us, the Bible says that our days are numbered. They're written in his book. If you think that you have control over the number of your days, if you think that if you take enough vitamins or if you stay away from McDonald's, vitamins good, McDonald's bad, don't get me wrong, and you think that you can, I'm going to determine, I'm going to live longer, you don't get that choice. Sorry. That is as anti-American, I know. But you don't get the choice. Your name, your days, my days, they're numbered in his book, regardless of what you're doing. Now, I do believe the Lord gives us wisdom and wants, if he wants to carry it out the day, so, you know, don't eat every day at McDonald's. But the other fact is that Jesus is coming back for the church. It's called the rapture. It's not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the Bible. But you find that Jesus is going to come back, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And those of us that remain will be caught up to ever be with the Lord. It's something that we can look forward to. It's something that I actually at times will sit and think, okay, Lord, what's this going to feel like? Because I'm a people person. I want to go with, the crowd that's alive, right? And so I think, what's it going to be like to all of a sudden be transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Not transport, it just says transformed. So my body would be instantly transformed. And then I'm going to start rising to go to be with him in heaven. I think that's really cool. I look forward to that day. There are days I think about going there a whole lot more than others. Okay, typically when I've got a problem going on in life, I've got something going on in my body that I don't like, okay, Jesus, just come right now. It's a good time. How many can agree with that? The other part is that at the end of the 7-year period, as there's this culmination of the battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ will return. The Bible says he's going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split. It's going to open up a pathway that is not currently there. And he is going to defeat all of the Antichrist armies, and we are coming back with him. So when Jesus says, I am coming soon, it could easily be one of these three areas. Now, we know that this scripture, this writing's been around for, nearly 2,000 years. You could say, pretty close to 2,000 years. And so what does that mean? How do we work through this coming soon? So I want to take an example that was used by Francis Chan that I just think is just so brilliant. This little end of this rope, this has got some tape on it. And this tape could put one of three eras on this tape. You could go from Adam to today and say, this has been the amount of time that has existed over the last 6,000 plus years. And then in that, really small, right in there somewhere, is your life. Your 60, your 70, your 80, your 90 years. And we that start following Jesus, the reality of eternal life, it enters us with Jesus, because Jesus is eternal life. And we begin to recognize that what we're living for is pretty small. Because eternity goes on and on and on and on. I mean, it won't get tangled up like this rope. But it'll go on. 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 And it'll go on. And it'll keep going. So for a person to live presently in the present for the near future, being this life, is extremely short-sighted. But a person who understands that the amount of time compared to eternity, I've got to live with a little bit of urgency. In fact, if you're part of the Christ Life Discipleship on Sunday nights, we say it this way. We would say that passion and urgency are a result of understanding time and eternity. Passion and urgency are a result of understanding time and eternity. When you understand time and eternity, then all of a sudden, you have a concern that your time is truly limited. So it starts with this present indicator of looking. You're presently living in the present with the future in mind if you're living with a sense of urgency. But the next one is that there's this comprehending. There's this comprehending that happens. In verse 10, he says, "And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of the book, for the time is near.'" Now, that word time is not chronos, the normal usage of clock time. than the scripture, that Greek word there is kairos. And that has to do with seasons. It has to do with epochs, and it has to do with eras. So as we understand seasons, as we understand eras, we understand that Israel was around with Jesus, they had a form of government, they had a form of rulership underneath the Roman government, but the Roman government eventually came in and destroyed Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 21, you find that it says that that the Gentiles will trample on Jerusalem until the time of the Gentiles, that same word there of time, it's a season, it's an era, is complete. And that's been roughly 2,000 years that Gentiles have been trampling on Jerusalem until 1948. There became a new era. There became a new season or a closing of the previous season. So there was this understanding of that. That season is also called a dispensation of grace, where it's the grace for all of the Gentiles. In fact, if you comprehend the era that we're moving in, the signing of the peace accord with the UAE and the Bahrain is significant. For me, I first understood the significance that took place when Russia and Iran, for the first time in the history of the world, made an alliance with each other. And it just happened to align with Ezekiel 38, with Gog and Magog. But you find that there were Arab states that are also mentioned in Ezekiel 38 that align themselves, get this, Arab states that align themselves with Israel. The first time in the history of the world, two Arab countries have made a peace accord with Israel. It's important that we understand the day in which we live. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs, it says, get wisdom and get insight. Don't forsake her, because she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. So it's important that we understand the day in which we live. Now, I'm not going to follow up with, geez, I'm going to give you 20 reasons or 21 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 2021. Not going to do that. Because I also understand that while we know when we're at the doorstep, Scripture says, we don't know the day or the hour. So you know that you are living in the present with a future in mind if you comprehend the season that you're living in. So the next present indicator is living. Look at verse 7 and go back a little bit. In verse 7, he says, and behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Again, you in the writing of, in the Greek, this is written in a present participle. In other words, when he's talking, blessed is the one who keeps the word, you really could say that there's a value or there's the guarding. So one of the indicators of recognizing the day in which you live and keeping the future in mind is that the word of God becomes something that is incredibly valuable to you. Now listen, we live in a day where there are whole segments of quote-unquote Christianity that believe that there can be such thing as the erasable Bible, the erasable Bible being written in the number two lead, and whatever theology you don't like or whatever part that God said that you don't really want to accept, you can just erase it. But let me tell you something, that Paul made it real clear that in these last days that people, they're going to want to hear what they're going to want to hear. And they're going to reject sound doctrine. But when you're presently living in this present with the future in mind, you're going to value the word of God so that you are in the word of God every day, where you're understanding what Jesus is saying now. Because with social media, all the different forms that we have of words to come our way, the word of God must be center, because every other thing anybody says is, what is it trying to do? It's trying to get in and it's trying to become the center. So what happens is you read and then you value and then you live what God says in his word, which means if God says you need to forgive someone, then that means you better forgive. at least better challenge you to the place to go, I don't know how to forgive. Because God comes along and he helps us with that. But I think this is it's a sign that the church is not understanding the day in which they are living. They're not comprehending the times and the seasons. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that we're to love those who vote the same we vote. All right, a couple people have read the Bible. It doesn't say that. But if you read Facebook, if they don't vote like you vote, they're the enemy. And we got to get rid of the enemy, because it'd be good to get rid of the enemy. Instead of actually doing what God's word says, and that is to do what? Love your enemy. It is really hard to love your enemy, especially the closer they get. But that always takes me back to Jesus. I can only love out of a human ability of love, and that always falls short. But when the love of the Father begins to move through me, when I turn to the Father and say, I don't know how to love that knucklehead, he says, that's all right, you're a knucklehead too. And I'll help you love him. Because that's what he does. He may not remind you. He speaks to me like that, by the way. But here's the thing. You know you're presently living in the present with the future in mind if you read, value, and live God's word. The next thing is, it has to do with doing. That's a real important indicator of living in the present with the future in mind. It has to do with doing. Doing what? It's doing the will of the Father. Let me read a couple verses, starting in verse 10. In verse 10, it says, and he said to me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. But then listen to these next words. Let the evil doer still do evil. And the filthy still be filthy. And the righteous still do right. And the holy still be holy. Because we are not called to, and you've heard me say this before, we are not called to change the world. We're called to change the worldly. Jesus didn't come to change the world. He came to change the worldly. He'll come back and change the world. Until then, we focus on the worldly. But he goes, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense. Say that word, recompense. We don't use that word a lot, but that's basically everything that is due, Jesus is bringing it. That means for the person that does right, he's bringing it. For the person that does wrong, he's bringing it. He says, I'm coming with a recompense to repay each one for what he's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, or the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So the first thing about doing God's will that is so critical is let God do what God does. God will give each person what they deserve. That means we can live a life not trying to get a hold of or grabbing onto the evil that other people do. Every person in this room, online, in the whole world who's ever lived will stand before the Almighty God. Every person. Some will stand before God and receive everlasting life. Some will receive everlasting judgment. Some will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some will not. In fact, what you find, really just unpack what is not being said in Scripture, I think the Lord just brought this real nugget to me in this. So here's, when you understand judgment, and the church doesn't understand judgment, for a person who has not put their trust in Jesus Christ, which is the first thing about doing his will, putting your trust in Jesus. But for a person who goes through life never putting their trust in Jesus Christ, it says that their name is going to not be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because there's this book, the Lamb's Book of Life, where every person who's placed their trust in Jesus, their name was written. And because Jesus knew beforehand, when I was a little kid, I thought there, you know, that piece of paper wore real thin. You know, you ever feel like that? That God just erased my name today, wrote it the next day, erased it, wrote it the next day. Jesus, he knows, you know, he knows all things. You know, and he knew way before at one time that my name was there. So it's written there. But for a person that's not written, for the person that is not written, they will stand in judgment for every act they ever committed. For the abortionist who never put their trust in Jesus Christ, they will be judged because the Bible says there are books, plural. And every act of self-righteous behavior, every lie that a person told, every time a person gossiped, every time a person did something of hurt towards another person, every time a person did some stingy act, not showing charity, and had not put their name in their trust in the name of Jesus Christ, those are written in books. And there's a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of them. And God will open up those books and they will be judged according to the acts that they have done. But for those who've trusted in the name of Jesus, they have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And do you know that every act where a person puts their trust in Jesus, where they put their faith in Jesus and in Christ alone through an act of trust and obedience, there is a reward waiting for them in heaven. But there is no book written for those acts. Let me tell you why. Because every time you do the will of the Father, you are in relationship with the one who never forgets. And when you say, I trust Jesus and I will do his will, he never forgets that. And so when Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, he knew that every act that was done out of faith in who Jesus Christ is and him alone would be remembered on the day of judgment. And so, it always starts, and I think it's important we get this, it always starts with this trust in Jesus Christ, that every act of mine that should be written in the book was taken away, and I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it doesn't stop there, because, you know, again, you hear me say these things. Christianity is not a line you cross, it's a direction you walk. And so when I trust Jesus, I grow in my trust for Jesus. I say yes to Jesus more and more and more. And you know why I do? Because the longer I'm with Jesus, the more I learn to live loved. The more I learn to live loved. And when I live loved, I will risk amazing things for the name of Jesus. In fact, if, you know, again, in the Christ Life Discipleship, we talk about a holy hunch. All of a sudden, I get this hunch. I was on a Zoom call here a few weeks back with a couple pastors, and it just hit me, literally right down here. I just had this overwhelming compassion for one of the pastors, and the Lord said, I want you to go, and I want you to go just to tell him I love him. He needs to learn to be loved. And so I texted him. He didn't text me back for 2 stinking days. Do you know what that's like? I thought, oh, Rich, you knucklehead. You kind of stepped out for Jesus and then he texts back. Because your trust in Jesus will always be stretched at some emotional, intellectual level. Otherwise, it wouldn't be trust. So, you know you're presently living in the present with the future in mind if you're living loved, listening and following the voice of Jesus. Which is the last indicator. I want to finish with this one. There's this inviting. This is an important indicator. Look what the scripture says in verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let one who desires to take the water of life without price, let him come. Again, written in the present tense, they're saying, come now, come now, come now. My heart, especially during the election season, it grieves for the church. The church isn't using social media to say, come. The church is using social media to say, get away, you're bad, you're horrible, cause more of a divide. But the Spirit and the bride should be saying, come. Saying, instead of the church saying, come, by our actions and our lack of invitation, we're really saying, go to hell. We're more concerned whether or not people are going to make us less miserable than they are than a motive that just fairly simply says, this time that we have compared to eternity, oh, come. Spirit and the bride, they say, come. The Holy Spirit to this day, with the people who are in your circle of influence, is saying, come. It's just not people saying, come. The Holy Spirit is saying, come. God is not slack in his promise, as some count slackness. Because for years, people have been saying, way back when, they've been saying, well, he's coming soon. Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? God's not slack in his promise, as some count slackness. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. I really believe understanding that the Holy Spirit is calling every person that you see, every person you see, the Holy Spirit is working on. He's calling into this relationship that they don't have to be thirsty. They don't have to be going after relationships. They don't have to be going after fame. They don't have to be going after money. They don't have to be going after the things that you only get for 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and then they're gone like vapor. You can go after something that will never leave you thirsty. You know, you're presently living in the present with the future in mind if you're praying for and looking for God's activity in your circle of influence. And I want to challenge you with this. The Lord, well over a year ago, really challenged me personally with this. You know, who is in your life that you are praying for, that you are literally saying, Jesus, don't come back until they come. Don't come back until they come. I remember before I got married, I didn't want Jesus to come back before I got married. Okay, some of you can relate with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We love life. It's something God's put in us. But when the Spirit and the bride are living in the present with the future in mind, they recognize that there are people in our circle of influence that if Jesus came back today, they would not go. And so this bride is saying, pray for them. Intercede on their behalf. Desire for them to come and drink so they will thirst no more. I believe that God wants someone like that, multiple people like that in each of our lives. Because when the church gets like that, you know what happens? The church ignites change. And people, they come and they receive and they start looking and they start living and they start comprehending. And you know what they do? They start inviting. They like us. And the Spirit say, come, come. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the call. Lord, as every head's bowed and every eye's closed and people are watching online, I believe this morning the Spirit is saying, come. Maybe you've lived your life thinking that Christianity was a line you cross. And now you're discovering that the Lord is saying that it's a direction you live. It's a direction you walk. And you're saying, Lord, I want to walk in that direction. I want to look and I want to live and I want to do and I want to comprehend and I want to be inviting. And Lord, I thank you that your mercies are new every day. And that, Lord, all we have to do is we turn toward you and we start walking with you and toward you. It's a weird dynamic, Lord, but it's what we do. And Lord, I pray that every person would say yes to do. Maybe you're watching online or you're hearing this and you've never said yes to the Lord. Maybe you were like the one person who commented and said that the Bible is a crutch for weak humanity. And Lord, as I read that, I just knew immediately, Lord, you're talking to him. You're talking to him. Some would take it as a slam, but you're talking to him because, Lord, the whole Bible is about humanity being weak. The whole Bible is about the humanity being unable. But that's only the first half because there's a God who is able. And there is a God who is strong. So strong that he overcame death in the grave and sin no longer has its power when received through Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you are drawing people. You're drawing people to him. You're saying, come. Because you are coming soon. You are coming soon, Lord. That we might recognize. Lord, I pray that there would be a heart commitment from every person in this room to allow each indicator to challenge them to the place of of crying out to you and saying, Lord, I desire. I pray, Lord, against the church who's always trying to comprehend but never moving. I also pray for the church that's moving and not comprehending. Lord, may we value your word. May we desire to know your word and live by your word. And Lord, I pray that this week that you will open our eyes to the people around us that you are saying by your spirit, come, come. I pray, Lord, we'll move into that relationship, that we will look for an opportunity where we can walk. They can see your life in our life so that they might receive your life in their life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.